Hallo und herzlich willkommen zu einer neuen Folge des Nachhalt-Podcasts vom Nachhaltigkeitsbüro der HU. Heute wieder mit dem neuesten Vortrag aus unserer Ringvorlesungsreihe Der grüne Faden. Viel Spaß beim Zuhören!
So, I titled this lecture Radical Innovation in an effort to combine visions of what is happening around the world, what is happening in different sectors around this idea of transitioning towards a sustainable world, and how to improve the quality of the discussion about those transitions, how to move away from also from the apocalyptic scenarios that are plaguing the news and the literature, and that are becoming more and more pressing on terms of policy. And I finished my introduction with that, political campaigns use lots of different narratives around unsustainable practices, about shifting from other kind of processes, and then we can fall easily in the climate panic and make complex decisions that compromise our ability to react on time if they are not the best. So we have to be careful, we have to act urgently, we have to innovate, but still we have to stay calm and think a lot on what are we going to do for the next stage of the world's development, of our country's development. So what I mean by radical innovation is a way to ask people or to engage people in a discussion about what kind of new practices do we want to put in place for the next few years, what kind of practices and in terms of individual behavioral changes, what type of practices in terms of our agreements, institutions, what kind of innovation in terms of our economy, our shifting from a monetary simplistic way of understanding trade and trade-offs, what kind of innovation in terms of laws, and in general terms, how do we envision this emerging world that perhaps the youngsters are the most interested in being part of. So there's a way of putting the idea of innovation as a goal for plenty of hope and not of despair. The first slide is just to show that we need to improve our capacity of understanding ecosystems and understanding relationships between things, because our judgments about sustainability are becoming more and more simpler and more simplified, which is not good at all, because ecosystems and society are complex systems that has plenty of different relations throughout scales of time and space. We humans live in a very limited frame of scales, and we live in hundreds of meters, kilometers, and hundreds of days, perhaps years, not more than 100 years. So we have memories of three generations, and we have a kind of a reach of space, very limited. So what we need is to learn to think at different levels, to integrate this movement of energy, mass, information throughout scales. And this is quite a challenge, because education is not always helping us. And the ideas of sustainable development are more fond on the idea of being local. And you have heard, and probably you are working in projects that emphasize the idea that becoming local and emphasizing local solutions is the way to go. But everything which is local is embedded in a context, is located in a place which is upscales towards the global level, and in times which has also different types of projections for the future. So thinking in many scales, simultaneously in many scales, is one of the skills that we have to try to provide to our students and to everybody, because simplicity is a challenge. So, and then based on the better models, better mindsets about our ecosystems, perhaps we can now start thinking on things such as nature-based solutions, which is another buzzword going around everywhere. People is asking to go back to nature, to learn from nature, to mimic nature. There's plenty of vocabulary calling to behave more in a natural way. But which nature is that? Very little people can say, or they have a, as I mentioned, a very simplistic idea of what is that nature and what is our role in framing nature or creating nature. Because humans during the last 20, 30, 50,000 years have created this planet B, because we are living in the planet B. We are now in a planet with totally different conditions in terms of atmosphere, of water, of landscape, and of course, in terms of proportions of living species. We humans are using 70% of the basic productivity of the ecosystems. We are we have displaced thousands of species and reduced their populations. We have polluted the seas and changed the chemical composition of everything. So we are living in a planet B, and what we call nature today perhaps is not something that we really understand, because if we think that nature is the past, we are wrong. We are trying to behave with the wrong frame. Nature today is something different. So understanding diversity and thinking on solutions based on the on how ecosystems function is something that perhaps can help us to provide a new perspective to live in the world, to inhabit the world. And here I suggest three ways to approach this new sense of living in nature, which are needed, but I insist acknowledging that this nature is different. The first one is to shift from unsustainable practices of living in gray infrastructure with a call for recovering and unfolding new green infrastructure. So we have to build new nature to foster sustainability. But this new nature is something that has to be built, and is not located in nostalgia. For example, all the Green Deal in Europe and all the nature, Natura 2000 nature, which was the perspective of improving the green quality of landscapes in Europe. But this is a particular idea that has different meanings all around the world, but less gray, more green is kind of what the economy is trying to suggest to governments and for policymakers. Secondly, to create a better link in terms of economical rationale between this new nature where we are located, so the green economy, to mention, which can be more a market system or less a market system, more institutional based or less institutional based, but still with the consciousness, with the awareness that the new nature we will and we are already building or with sustainable purposes is an ecosystem where financial flows are very important, as Odum in the founding years of ecology mentioned. So money is quite important in this new nature. And finally, and not just to stay with money and markets, how these new natures are built also full of emotional relations, some of guilt, some of despair, some of hope, some of with ideas of improved quality of environment, which we don't know what they mean, but plenty of experiments and art. And here is quite important the notion of creating new natures as we do art. This is also fundamental to the new identities we are building for the next generations. We want to be the same kind of people in this new nature we are building. And that may sound a bit strange, but people is changing as ecosystems are changing. And we cannot be or cannot hope to be the same kind of persons or people, even in physical terms, than we were in the past, in previous years. So innovation is radical in terms that the world is new. It's, as I mentioned, already the planet B, and we are different in terms of our capacities integral way of saying this word, capacities. There's plenty of different capacities installed in societies, installed on governments, installed on space and time that we can use to foster this new approach for the global nature positive perspective that the CBD, the Convention of Biological Diversity, is providing to the countries. So the idea is to halt the loss of nature, which is the buzzword. I hate the word, the use of this word, but let's go for ecosystems and biodiversity. Zero net loss of biodiversity from 2020, 2 years ago, and really start recovering fast the living world that we used to thrive in. And this is quite important for carbon neutrality, for climate programs, and also for bioeconomics, where we are located mostly in Colombia, a path to bioeconomics. So non-net loss and net positive impact for biodiversity is kind of the goal for 2015. And how to achieve it through innovation is the challenge. So what kind of innovation should we look for? Just technological innovation, such as this river of solar cells in California, which get energy and at the same time they mobilize it towards the cities? Or is more than just technological innovation, and it has another meaning, if we can say so. So I will like to suggest for the discussion five realms of innovation for the sustainable environmental management in the next future, in the near future, I will say. And I will start just not because it's the most important, but it's one of which I feel in my own experience as being very important, which is the body. How our bodies have changed during the last years, which kind of bodies do we experience nowadays, which kinds of identities do we build from our bodies and our relations with other bodies and other species, which is quite important. We live from our bodies, and that's certainly unavoidable, but we can learn different ways of living in and occupying, inhabiting our body. Our relation with machines, all kinds of machines, intelligent machines, more or less intelligent, which have become part of the ecosystem. They are everywhere. They behave sometimes more with more autonomy than we wish, but they're still doing things, some bad things, some very interesting and good things. And machines are already part of our world. And we are not used to talk with machines, but perhaps with our computers and cell phones when they have bots to help us to do things. But in the next future, we will talk lots with our machines, and we can migrate temporarily inside the brain of our machines to create the cyborg for different purposes. Then we are changing our habitat. We are living more and more in cities, and cities are quite distant from biological ecosystems or biological ruled ecosystems, because cities are governed by our ideas and by our dreams and capacities. So cities are becoming kind of a completely new type of habitat, and we like cities. That's despite we complain about the hard life in cities, humans love to live in cities because many reasons. For some people are very difficult to understand, but for others, cities just call us, and they create totally new types of experience and behaviors and ways of inhabiting the world. And together, new bodies, new machines, new habitats will probably are the basis for dreams of inhabiting other planets or spatial colonies, or this new planet we are building with another logic. This is not necessarily good. This is something that perhaps will start to happen very soon. Of course, we have shifted our production systems, and we keep innovating in ways of doing things, in ways of producing energy, ways of transforming materials. And perhaps what we understand by innovation is more located here, because all the time we are doing new, producing new stuff, new substances, new entities. But this is shifting quite fast, especially for adaptation to climate change, of course. And finally, and not the least important, we are innovating our forms of organizing ourselves. So it's social innovation, which means that we are creating new types of families, new types of relations in our workplaces. We are again going for a tribal way of living in the streets during summertime, the super botellón. I don't know how to translate it in German or in English, but it's kind of this huge gatherings of people just to dance and hear music in the central Platz. 50,000 people just talking and living for days, and protesting, but also creating, doing arts, and talking about what's going to be the future. So ways of living and inhabiting the world also are changing hand in hand with these new kinds of ways of living. So I will use kind of 10, 15 minutes to talk about some of these transformations, because I think the idea of transforming the world is substantial. It's very important to understand what we mean by transformation and the dark sides of transformation and the light sides of transformation, to avoid thinking that ecological transformations have been all bad in the past, that history is a history of destruction of the world, or it's just a history of victory against nature. It's a mix of both. We have transformed our world with very different types of outcomes and a progressive awareness of the size of the task. Never in the past we were 8 billion people living unconnected, and so it's quite impossible to compare with anything. So there's no purpose on keeping or saying that we are a bad species that has to and that deserves the extinction or deserves catastrophes, or we are a triumphant species that will be eternal and have domain over nature forever. We are in the middle of that, and understanding transformations in a deeper sense, I think, is going to be quite important to build policies and to build decision making for the future. In fact, IPBES, the Intergovernmental Panel of Biodiversity and Ecosystem Services, is calling for an assessment of transformative change, a global assessment, which means what kind of transformations are needed at the global scale, at the national scale, to improve the capacity of biodiversity to deliver ecosystem services or to contribute to the human well-being. So transformation is in the mindset of governments, of entrepreneurships, of communities, saying we have to move, and to move quickly. As an Alice in Wonderland, to move quickly, where to? Well, that depends on where you want to go. What kind of world do we want? And of course, we are not in an agreement. But here we live in bodies that are trained, vaccinated, but not all of them. In Europe, we are looking the unfolding of the pandemic and how ideas about immunity, biological immunity, are having consequences on mortality, on the health services, and on the dynamics of the pandemics, which are very different in Eastern Europe than in Russia, than in India, China, United States, and in Colombia, of course, because we are in a similar situation, but we are not... now we are not in the same phase of the pandemics, but of course, vaccination is a big issue about body modification. Who has the right to ask you to be vaccinated, to be part of the workforce, or to be part of anything? Our bodies are also and there's a heavy discussion on how to be well-fed. You know, there's discussions about the consumption of sugar, consumption of trans fats, of everything. And there's the idea of orthofeeding, or the good way of being fed. And here, the question is, what means to change diets? Do we have to become vegetarians, all of us, to move towards or within a threshold of sustainability, or to produce, is feasible to produce sustainable meat with regenerative attributes, and to help preserving wild ecosystems? So there's always both positions, and the heavy discussion on how to feed those that still live on just one day meal, which is the real question, how to improve the world's capacity to distribute and give access to food. How do we portray our bodies in art? How do we change gender, change color, while we get into connecting with technology, because this is the issue of becoming cyborgs and prosthetics. This will make a huge change of our, say, our biological expressions and our biological way of relating to the world, of inserting ourselves in the world. How are we connecting with the world? Just with through our senses, our conventional senses, or are we getting into a more complex way of interacting with nature? And we are talking about virtual reality, expanded reality, and all sorts of mind technologies that will change our capacity of inhabiting the world. Then what kind of new machines I'm referring to? Let me see the timing. Okay, just 10 minutes. So all kinds of machines, and not the bad machine, the cyborg that will destroy LA in the movie, the robot, the bad robot, but plenty of networks of small machines that are able to perform ecological tasks that help us to survive in this changing world. So how are we changing those, or how are we inviting machines to be part in our ecosystems to help us to solve problems? of course, we have a huge discussion on how are we restoring ecosystems? What kind of new green infrastructure are we building with which species, and if they are more alike to previous existing forests or wetlands, or we are designing those new ecosystems to provide better functions, to provide, to protect endangered species. And as we are building cities and expanding our cities everywhere, we are understanding that we may share these spaces with lots of species that are endangered. And programs such as eco-cities and eco-urbanism are helping us to open those spaces. But still, we don't want to live together with snakes and spiders, and biodiversity. Biodiversity is a nuisance. It's dangerous, especially here in Colombia. And it's quite difficult. And you may ask Liliana how is to live in the Chocó region and to share the rainforest with thousands of invertebrates and in a condition of climate that makes you think that perhaps the winter in Germany is not as bad as people think. So those new ecologies that we are building are a sign of a wider perspective of the communities that we want to live in. So rules for this, we'll say this new world that is emerging, and we don't know how it's gonna evolve. Also change in terms of tackling with poverty, tackling with human rights, tackling with equity, and trying to improve the capacity of everybody to be a significant part of the system and to regain a sense of purpose in doing so, which is, I think, one of the most complex diseases to treat in the present, the sense of meaning that is being lost by the young, by many people says, I don't know what should I do and what is the purpose of my task in the world. And so what probably we will have to work heavily in is into improving the sense of being part of something. It's a sense of being part of, not just of an ecosystem, but a new type of ecosystem, which is made of machines, people, and other living beings, which are usually I'm aware of. So here we may end, and I will just finish with this very, with simple picture about the new landscapes of the world. This planet B will emerge as a assemblage of many types of emerging ecosystems, wild ecosystems from the past that still remain, such as the Amazon, for example, or other types of rainforests in the world, part of the ocean, but never thinking that they are completely separated and isolated of the rest of the world, because they are already changed because of what we have done to the atmosphere. So, and I will finish here, radical innovation is perhaps just a sentence to acknowledge that we need to be aware of the previous changes or the changes that are affecting our lives. And through this reflection and awareness, think on the pathways for the future and how are we going to take control of what can be controlled, and how we address the collective decisions that need to be taken for a more sustainable and just world. Thank you. Thank you very much.